is able to deliver thee, and he has delivered us all. If you're saved here tonight, God has delivered you. He's delivered you from the penalty of sin, and he is daily delivering you from the power of sin, and he will one day deliver you from the presence of sin. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 tonight, if you'll find your place there in your Bible, and we'll take a few verses there. We'll probably just get one of them. I noticed tonight, we take the paper, and I noticed in the paper tonight that in Clovis, it said the SP came by. SP, that's the state police, came by a barbershop in Clovis and closed them up. I think gave them a ticket or a fine or something like that, you know, because they were open and they weren't supposed to be open. That's awful, isn't it? I'll bet you they had two or three people in there at one time, man. That's awful. Two or three people at one time in the building. The state police came by Nicole and Sal's place, too, back when this thing first started, and they made them shut down because they have, I don't know how many employees that they have. They have four or five in there at once, you know, so that's pretty bad, too. They made them close up, and I think they did it twice. They came by two times to close them up. So those things are going on. But you know what the First Amendment to the Constitution says? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion, and nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So Congress, the lawmaking body of the United States of America, cannot make any laws. And I think, let alone a governor, cannot do it either, but they do it. So anyway, we're glad to be here, glad to be able to assemble with God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, tonight I'm going to take verse number 2, and I doubt if I'll get any further than verse number 2, but you follow along and let me read about 9 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 1 says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to take a subject here from verse number 2 on the church of God. We'll talk about that for a few minutes here tonight. Let us pray. Father, we come to thy throne of grace. God, we thank you, Father, for your goodness and kindness toward us, God, for your long suffering and mercy to us. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you shower down upon us daily because of the grace of God. Help us to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Help us, God, to be a blessing to one another tonight. Help us to be edified, and help us to lift up Jesus Christ, our Lord. I ask the Spirit of God, please, to be our teacher and help me, please. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of 1 Corinthians. The writer here is the Apostle Paul, and we know that from verse number 1. And this is the first letter of two letters that were written to the church at Corinth. And Corinth was a large city in Greece at the time of this writing. And Paul went there on his second missionary journey and preached, and people were saved. And so a church was started. We read about that last week, where the church was founded in Acts chapter number 18, and where God told Paul, he said, I have much people in this city. He said that in Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 10. I imagine that God could say that about any city in the United States of America or any city in the world. I have much people in this city. Paul stayed there for 1 year and 6 months, the Bible says in verse number 11, teaching the word of God among them. And so Paul taught those people. It was a church, a local church, just like we have right here. Now then, in verse number 1, we talked about this last week, and we talked about the apostleship of Paul the apostle. It says in verse number 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. We talked about that. His apostleship, the fact that he is the apostle to the Gentiles, and God called Paul to go to the Gentiles. That was to be the main focus of his ministry, was to go to the Gentiles. If there's anybody here who doesn't know what a Gentile is anybody that's not a Jew. You know, we'll talk about that a little bit. Or something else I wanted to point out that I didn't point out last week, and that is this, that there were apostles, and apostle, by the way, the name apostle means this. It means one who is sent. So God sent these apostles for the purpose, what they did, you know, to preach. And there were apostles before the cross. There are apostles after the cross. The apostles before the cross, we're familiar with them. There were apostles before the cross. You know, we got Peter, James, and John. We got Matthew. And there's 12 of them, Judas being the last one. If you count Jesus, then that would be 13. And he is called an apostle in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. But these apostles were apostles to the Jewish nation before the cross. There were apostles also after the cross. They were apostles to the church. It's important for you to understand that. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10, and we'll read a few verses there. Matthew chapter number 10. Here the apostles are just getting started, and Jesus sending them out to preach. And it says in Matthew chapter number 10, if we were to begin in verse number 1, it says, and when he had called on him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, and James, the son of Alphaeus and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. That's the first mention of Judas Iscariot there. And he's always mentioned last in the list of the apostles, but he's the one who betrayed Jesus. Now, these 12 apostles, and they were apostles that were before the cross, and they are apostles to the nation of Israel only. Only. Look in the next verse, in verse number 5. We'll read 5, 6, and 7. It says in verse number 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not, not, N-O-T, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. He gave them power to do all of these kinds of things. Now, when I was young, when I first got saved, and I was coming up, I was trying to learn things. I was trying to learn some things from the Bible. I didn't have any good teachers, but I used to listen to people I listened to what you might say all the greats of the past. I guess there may be some great preachers now. I don't know any of them, but I used to listen to what you might call the great preachers back then. They're like 20 years older than me. John R. Rice, Jack Hiles. I've been to all those places. I've been everywhere. I've been to all the conferences that you can name. I've been to all of them. Been there, done that. My idea that I got from these people was that soul winning was everything. And I had the idea that these apostles would go out and they would just, you know, win souls. That was their job. Because I thought that's what everybody was supposed to do. And that's what I did. I had a job in Albuquerque. I had a job in Fort Worth, Texas. In Albuquerque, all I did was knock on doors. Knock on doors, talk to people, win people, bring people to church on Sunday, bring them down the aisle, get them baptized, have somebody baptized every Sunday. You see, all of my kids were there. We stayed there for 3 or 4 years. And I had the idea that people like the apostles here, that's what they would do, that they would go from door to door, that they would preach, and they would invite Jesus Christ to come into their heart. They didn't do that. I was wrong. Nobody invited Jesus Christ to come into their heart before he died on the cross. He was standing right there in front of them. You wouldn't do that, you see. That prayer's not even in the Bible anyway. It's okay, but it's not in the Bible. Now, the Bible does say that Jesus Christ lives in your heart by faith. That's where he lives. But I used to think that. No, the apostles went out and preached the gospel of the kingdom. I had the idea that they preached the gospel. And I only knew at the time I was trying to learn, I only knew of one gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before the cross, how are they going to preach the death, burial, and resurrection when he hadn't died on the cross yet? No, they preached the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is this, that Jesus Christ has come, the King of the Jews. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to rule over the earth. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven. See, that's why I came. I didn't know that. I thought you're supposed to go out and, you know, I thought that they went out and, you know, won souls like we do, all that kind of stuff. These apostles are apostles to Israel, you see. They went out and they preached the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus Christ has come to set up his kingdom. That is the gospel of the kingdom. We don't preach that now. I mean, our gospel is this. Our gospel is called the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. And that gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-4. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel of Christ. That's the gospel that we preach. If you understand what the word gospel means, then why would you think that the gospel has to be the same everywhere? Because the word gospel means good news. So what is the good news? The good news for these people right here was that Jesus Christ, the King, has come. Our Jewish Messiah has come, you see. Well, they didn't accept him as that. They didn't accept him as that, and so the kingdom didn't come. Didn't come. So God had another plan. They didn't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and so God's got another plan. Did you know you can't mess up anything that God has in mind? Because if you mess something up, God has another plan. If you mess up your life, did you know God has something else you can do? If you mess up one thing that maybe God intended for you to do, God will give you something else to do. He'll give you something else to do. God's got, it's like answering prayers. God has a million ways that he can answer your prayers, you see. He's got a million ways that he can answer your prayers. There were apostles before the cross. They were apostles to the nation of Israel. And those original 12 apostles, that's what they did. Now, some of them became apostles to the church. After the cross, then it's apostles to the church. That's why God called the apostle Paul out to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He set aside the nation of Israel because they rejected his offer. They rejected his offer of the kingdom. So he set them aside. And today, for the last 2,000 years, he has not been dealing with the nation of Israel. He's been dealing with the church. That's us, you see. That's us. So these men, some of them became apostles to the church. along with others, like, Peter, James, and John. They were apostles to the church. But then there were others, like Paul. God called Paul. Timothy, Titus, and those, and possibly a few others. Who would that be? Barnabas. Barnabas and Silas. It'd be apostles to the church, you see. All right? I just wanted to bring that out there. Apostles before the cross to the nation of Israel, and apostles after the cross to the church. Now, verse number 2 here tells us to whom it is written. I'm going back over here to 1 Corinthians. To whom it is written, it says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. The term church of God is used here. The word church means a called out assembly. We are a called out assembly. That's what we are. When you got in your car tonight and came to church, you gave testimony to your neighbors that you're a called out. You're a called out person. You came to church. You're called out. We're called out of the world, you see. And one of these days you won't come home because Jesus is going to take us up, see. You've been called out of the world, and we're going to get out of here one of these days. And so you give testimony every time that you come to church. So the word church means a called out assembly. And so we've been called out from the world. Now sometimes, listen carefully, it's important to understand what the word church means. Sometimes the word church is speaking about one local visible church, like the Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. Sometimes that's what the word is talking about. Like Antioch in the Bible. I'm going to flip over here back to my left a little bit to Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 26. Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 26. It says this, Acts 11, 26. I'm going to back up here and read a few verses here. Verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. See, they didn't know any better. They preached only to the Jews. They didn't know. They didn't know any better. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. You didn't know the church had ears, did you? Came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You'll notice right there the word church there is talking about one local church there, a visible local church at Antioch. Antioch was an important place there. That was a big church where a lot of Gentiles. Chapter 13 and verse number 1 says this. Chapter 13 and verse number 1 there. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. So there is a local church right there. So sometimes the word church means a local church. Sometimes, number 2, sometimes it's talking about all the saved who are a part of the body of Christ. Here in our verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, it says, unto the church which is at Corinth. It is talking about a local church there, but it's talking about all the saved who are part of the body, a body of Christ in that church. It says, church of God. What this verse is not talking about, it is not talking about, a lot of times when people hear the word church, well, they think of a denomination. This word is not talking about a denomination. There's a denomination called the Church of God. It's a Pentecostal group. Now, groups of the Pentecostal persuasion have only been around for, I don't know how many years, maybe 150 years, something like that. Possibly 150 years they've been around. Then you've got denominations. Church of Christ. How long has the Church of Christ been around? Now, they say they're the true church. How can you be the true church when you've only been around about 200 years? At the most, 200 years. How can you be? Where was the church at before that? You see, where was the church at? Church of Christ, 200 years, at the most 200 years. Possibly not even that long. But yet they say they are the true church. They were founded by a man. A man founded them. You can go back in history and you can find it out. You see, they got other ones. We've got the Mormons. You see, they all claim to be the true church. You've got the JWs. You got the Seventh-day Adventists. You got the Nazarenes. My brother-in-law is a Nazarene preacher. He's a good man. He's a good man. I believe he was saved. You got the Catholic Church. You see, the Catholic Church is the world's church. The world has a church, and it's the Catholic Church. And they were started back around 300 to 400 A.D., you see. All these are denominations. They're denominations that's been started in the United States of America. And none of them are any good. That's my opinion. If you like them, okay. You got all the ones that I named. They all started in the United States of America in just a couple of hundred years ago, see. Just a couple of hundred years. Then you've got some that were started in England about 400 or 500 years ago. You've got the Methodists. You've got the Lutherans. You've got the Episcopalians. You've got the Church of England. You've got all of them. These are denominations and Presbyterians. I don't know where it started. Maybe in Switzerland by a guy by the name of John Calvin, you see. And none of these churches are founded in Israel where Christianity began. All were started and founded by men or women. Some of them were founded and started by women, you see. And they are denominations. You notice I didn't put Baptists in there. Folks, there's no such thing as the Baptist church, I don't think. No such thing as the Baptist church. You cannot go back in history somewhere and find where somebody started the Baptist church. You can't do that. You can't do that. There have been people since the days of the apostles who believe what we believe, who believe in salvation by grace through faith, who believe in baptism as a figure of salvation, who believe in eternal security, who believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. They believed all these things. They were called Anabaptists. They were called Baptists. They were called maybe a lot of other things, but they go all the way back. They go all the way back to the apostles. You cannot go anywhere in history and find out where some man like John Calvin or John Wesley, as good a people as they were, but you cannot go back in history and find where somebody started the Baptist church. See, can't do it. They always believed these things, and they rejected certain things, and they suffered for certain things. They suffered because they rejected the Mass. They rejected infant baptism. They rejected the Mass being turned into the body or the blood of Jesus Christ. They rejected infant baptism, and they suffered for these things. And thousands and millions of them were killed and murdered and hung and burned at the stake, burned alive. All you got to do is read Fox's Book of Martyrs. That'd be one place to start. Here's a book right here. It's entitled The History of the Waldenses. The Waldenses were a group of people that believed what we believed, and they lived in the mountains. I believe it's in southern Italy or France, one of those places. The History of the Waldenses. Thousands of them were killed and slaughtered for what they believed. Here's one here about the history of the Appalachian Christianity. It's about this guy by the name of Schubel Stearns. Schubel Stearns. Schubel Stearns pastored a little church somewhere in the, I guess what you call the Appalachian Mountains. He had this little church called Sandy Creek Baptist Church. Wasn't very big. I don't know if the thing may be still standing there, but it wasn't very big, but they had thousands of people saved, but none of them stayed. Man, they all went out and they became missionaries. They all went out and started other churches all around the United States, you see. That's Baptists. That's Baptists. That's what Baptists do, see. Baptists don't get together and try to kill a bunch of people. Baptists don't get together because people don't believe what we don't believe and try to burn them at the stake. We don't do that kind of stuff. We never have done that kind of stuff. And we never will do that kind of stuff, you see. We don't march in the streets for our rights. We don't do those kinds of things, you see. But no man founded a Baptist church. The Southern Baptists have become a denomination. I don't think that's right. You got the missionary Baptists, you got the Northern Baptists, and I don't know whatever else you got. They've turned into denominations. Listen carefully. All denominations will eventually go bad. All denominations will eventually go apostate. You see, they will. The best thing, I think, the right thing is just to be a Baptist church without anything else. Just be a Baptist church. So I say that when he says here, the church of God, he's not talking about a denomination. He's talking about all the people, the saved people in that local church right there. It's not referring, number two, it's not referring to a building. Now we've talked about that a lot, that the church is not a building. We don't have to talk about that tonight. But what it's talking about, I'm repeating myself here, is the saved people in the assembly at Corinth. The term Church of God, listen carefully, is the name given for the body of Christ in the New Testament. The term Church of God, that's the title. That's the term given that tells us about the body of Christ in the New Testament. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn over to chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, look at verse number 32. Verse number 32. It says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. See, you see that humanity is divided up into three groups, Jews, Gentiles, church of God. Now you know right there when he says church of God, he's not talking about a particular church somewhere. He's talking about all the saved, church of God. Jew, Gentile, church of God. What are you? You a Jew, you a Gentile, or you the church of God? Well, if you're saved, you're the church of God. Turn on over to Galatians, next couple of books over. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 13, here's Paul the apostle. He said, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. See, wherever he went, he persecuted Christians, church of God. I could show you scriptures. Acts chapter number 22, where Paul gave his testimony. Acts chapter number 26. Talking about how he persecuted Christians wherever he went. Turn your Bible on a little bit further over to the right. Galatians, Ephesians. To the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians, chapter number 5. And look at verse number 23. Ephesians, chapter number 5 and verse number 23. Here's what it says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. I told you, you have a local church, but then you have all that are saved. Sometimes the word church is used for just a local church. Now, a local church like this is a type of the body of Christ. Jesus Christ being the head. The head. He's the head of the body of Christ. So he says there in verse number, he is the Savior of the body. By the way, you know, that's a picture of that would be back over there, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Eve being his wife and the church being the bride of Jesus Christ. Verse number 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Look in verse number 26. It says that he might, talking about, no, I better read verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Talking about all the saved, the body of Christ, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it might be holy and without blemish. Verse number 30, look at verse number 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You see, that's the body of Christ. You cannot see his body. Verse number 32 says, nevertheless, let every... it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, the church is a mystery in this sense, that people didn't know about it. The prophets didn't know about it. They didn't see it in the Old Testament. Turn to the next book, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 18 says this, and he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Look on down to verse number 24. Colossians 1, 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, his body, the body of Christ. It is also said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, says this. You don't need to turn over there, but I'll tell you what it says. Paul said this when he's talking to Timothy. He said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So there he calls the church the household of God, the house of God. It's the household of God. And he said, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, God has committed to us the truth of sound doctrine, and we are to preach it and teach it. Now then, when Jesus Christ left this earth physically, in Acts chapter number 1, he left a church. He left a church. He didn't leave anything else behind except his family. He's left his mother. He left some brothers. And he left a couple of sisters. But he didn't leave anything else behind. He didn't leave a college. He didn't leave a university. He didn't leave a political party. He didn't leave a government. He didn't leave a business. He didn't leave a bank. He left nothing but a church. He left a church when he left. And he gave us the last commands. Turn back over to Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28. Verse number 18, 19, and 20. And it says this, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, so when Jesus left, he commanded us as a church to do these things. Number one, we're to exalt the Savior. We're to exalt Jesus Christ in our preaching. Like Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. We are to exalt him. Like you heard last Sunday night from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 to 4. Preaching that exalts Jesus Christ, that God is that he is God manifest in the flesh. God gets glory from the preaching whenever we exalt the Savior, whenever we exalt Jesus Christ. So we are to exalt the Savior. Number two, we are to evangelize the lost. Evangelize the lost. The scripture there says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations. What are we supposed to teach them? Teach them the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, baptizing them. We're supposed to teach them. When it says nations in the Bible, nations, that's Gentiles. That's Gentiles. That has always been the pattern. Teach all nations. This is our pattern for missions. If you don't go to the foreign field, if you don't go to teach other people in other lands, then send somebody else. Send somebody else. That's why we have missions. He read a missionary letter from Brother Kiefer. Brother Kiefer. I know Brother Kiefer a little bit. He goes back and forth to the Philippines. And so see, if we don't go there ourselves, if you're not going to go there yourself, then send somebody else. Send somebody in your place. Support them financially and prayerfully. Send somebody else in your place. Then last, we are to edify the saints. He says there in that verse, teaching them to observe all things. That's verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we're supposed to teach the saints. We're supposed to edify them, teach them the scriptures. And it says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's a man by the name of David Livingston. He went to Africa as a missionary. And he went on that one verse. That was his one verse right there. He said, lo, I'm with you always. He said, if the Lord's going to be with me always, then I'm going to go to Africa. And he died. He died in Africa, and they sent his body back to England to be buried, but they cut his heart out and buried it in Africa. That's a true story. That's a true story. David Livingston. Amen. Amen. I'm finished. Church of God.